I am the ultimate. I am majesty. Crypto decentralized. I am currency. I am the Tesla for electricity. I am a mobile eye. Mining frequency. I am the whole.
I have this VA who's the most annoying motherfucker I've ever met in my entire life, but he does the best work ever. He's so fucking annoying. Like, the most annoying person I have ever met. Just the stupidest questions, does the best work, and I hate talking to him, but I have to pay him. And he's just, and I'll tell him, I'll be like, bro, please leave me alone right now. Like, you're aggravating me to no end. And he's like, I'm sorry. You know how they talk. I'm sorry, ma'am. And I'm like, dude, just leave me alone.
You say those words. What are the exact words?
Leave me the fuck alone. I can't take a bunch of questions. Like, you know, it's the same thing every time. You know what you have to do. It doesn't change. You know what I mean? Like, I set you up with this. I showed you the exact ad targeting. Like, I'm trying to put you on a new ad group, but I can't even give you a second client because you keep asking me about the first one. And if I have to answer the questions twice, I'm going to lose my mind. But he's really good. Like, he's really efficient. And it drives me nuts because it's like everybody has quirks and that's his. But it is just the worst one. It is like the worst. I'd rather someone completely screw up and not talk to me and me have to go fix it. I swear to God. I'm not even kidding. Like, the lady who does my video editing, she does some good videos, but then sometimes she does some horrible ones. But she doesn't say anything to me. She just sends them. And I'm just like, okay, I'll fix it. Good try. Like,
what's an example of a horrible ending?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you know how people like lyric videos? The whole point of a lyric video is so people can read the words. Like, you remember those CD cards and things that we used to have where it's all the lyrics? Well, a lyric video is that, but on a computer, and you're supposed to keep up. So it'll be like 30, that's an exaggeration, like 10 seconds behind, and it is just aggravating. Or like, if there's no music, it's like music break. Like, the whole thing is a song. The whole thing is music. It's, you don't have to put music break. This isn't karaoke. Like, it's ridiculous things like that are tiny and weird, but they're just uncomfortable. I can't do it. So I'll just fix it, or it'll look bad. Like, it'll be like the song is about, like, I don't know. I've been getting a lot of songs about, my clients have been giving me a lot of songs about selling drugs, and it'll be them like hugging their parents and like trying to have this very sentimental moment. And I'm like, this is about selling drugs. Like, can I see a joint or like a bump or something in the video? Like, I get it. You're trying to humanize this person, which is cool, but they're literally talking about shooting someone and robbing them. This is not the time for humanity. When they drop their auto-tune R&B, you are more than welcome to do that. But like, when they are literally talking all that gang shit, like, don't do it. It's just, it doesn't fit. It's weird. And it's weird that, like, that's where her brain goes. Like, I see a thug, he's gonna hug his mother. Like, no, he's literally talking about shooting
somebody. Hugathug.com.
Right, like, that should be, is that a thing?
I don't know, but it should be.
I'm gonna look it up, because that sounds like really fun. Really nice. Hugathug sounds so fun. I don't know, I might buy that domain. Just, I don't even know what to do with it, but I might buy it just to have it in case I ever have a shower idea what Hug a Thug would be. It's totally available. Like, this is what happens to me.
Have you seen, I was watching, I don't know what I was watching, but they were talking about how since the pandemic, and because of legalization of marijuana.
People are high as shit right now.
Well, they're saying that there's a lot of, like, people, like, drug dealers and gangs that have started doing charity work for the neighborhood.
Good. I mean, they've ruined it. They should do. I just said this to my mom today. I swear to God. My mom comes from a really, really poor neighborhood, and she made it out. She did really well for herself, and someone was telling her to do community service. I was like, you don't have to do community service. You didn't do anything. The people who need to be doing the community service are the people who fucked the neighborhood up to begin with. Like, it doesn't make sense. You want the people who are successful to go back into this neighborhood, not the drug dealers who sold the crack in there. Those are the ones. So, I mean, Hug a Thug, that kind of sounds like a foundation. Like,
it does. It
really does sound like a good, I'm probably going to buy it. I'm going to keep it. And I'm probably going to have an idea. Like, this is how Hug a Thug works. And I'm going to run it by some strange weirdo on the internet, because that's how everything ever successful gets started. There's a weirdo out there who will look at that and say, this is a phenomenal idea. And then you guys will go halvesies on it. And next thing you know, Hug a Thug is a real thing. And that's really
I'd wear a hat. I'd wear a Hug a Thug hat.
I'd wear a shirt.
Yeah.
Like,
Ashley, Do it.
I probably don't tempt me. I mean, like, I've started things just to do them, knowing full well they were going to fail. And it wasn't even like a money project, you know what I mean? It was like, oh, I have an idea. Let's see if it works. Didn't work. No love lost on my end. Like,
what was the biggest? I don't like using the word fail, but I mean, there are some things that.
Oh, no, complete fail. I love the word fail. So, there's nothing wrong with failing. I thought I invented the shower radio. So there was that one that was a pretty big fail. I just never knew shower radio. I just never knew anyone with a shower radio. I never saw anyone with one. Who has that? And I'm thinking, you know, it's pretty uncomfortable when you bring your phone in and you get it all fogged up because you're listening to music. I'm like, there should be a device. I thought it was a genius. Went on Amazon. Turns out somebody thought of this years ago. So that idea was a terrible flop. Also, let's see. I have plenty of them. I wanted to start a shooting range in my backyard, but then I realized I would probably die because someone would miss and shoot me. It's in my backyard. Karate for old people was another one I thought of.
No, wait, how was that a failure? I think that would be amazing.
Well, because if they fall, you're liable. Insurance liability. Yeah. Trust me, I really thought it was cool. I was like, we're going to get these old people moving. We're going to get them back to each other. Then I looked at it and I was like, if one of these old people fall, I'm going to have to pay for their funeral. And you know what? That just doesn't seem right. Because I'm going to lie and say that they died on the way to the hospital. It was the ambulance that did it. It wasn't me. That's what I would say. And I would still get sued. So it's just not, it's not happening. I mean, karate for old people. It just seems funny though. Like when I pictured it, it was just hilarious. And I was like, I got to figure out how to make this work. Like just picture your grandma literally kicking and punching. Like it's so funny. And that's pretty much.
A good reality show. I would watch that.
I would too. Oh yeah, I would too, man. You know, this helicopter's still on Tiger Woods' house.
For real?
Yeah, like, it's kind of invasive, you know what I mean? Like, okay, we get it, he crashed, but why is this helicopter still here? Like, it's just rude at this point, you know? And they're showing the layout of this man's house. Like, I could talk to Rob Tiger Woods right now. I think this is his house. It looks like, I don't know whose house it is, but they might get robbed. Like, it's a very nice house. You know, people use it. Sinister people, man. But that car is like sideways. That is terrible. I hope he is okay though. Once again, something I probably didn't need to know, probably wouldn't have lost any sleep over. Now I'm worried about Tiger Woods. Like, thanks news, you're so great.
He had let's see,
is he living Chicago?
Going surgery after suffering multiple leg injuries.
Jesus. Well, what was his career? I mean, it doesn't, I guess it was time to hang it up anyway, Tigs, but like, that's not how you want to go. He'll probably do some like charity tours and stuff, and people will applaud him for being a hero.
Or he might be one of those athletes that they have that magical thing that.
Yeah, there was one guy.
It just regrows his leg back, right?
Yeah, who was it? Like Paul Pierce? It was a basketball player who got shot like a bunch of times, and then he came back playing basketball. He said like basketball saved his life. He was shot like 10 times or something, and then came back and played professional basketball. And I was like, I don't know, I probably would have died. Like, honestly, you shoot me 10 times. Like, I don't know if I'm that resilient. And it takes resiliency. I mean, but that's what it takes to be a pro athlete. So I'm obviously not a pro athlete. So if you shot me 10 times, I promise.
You're shoot your shot, you know?
Yeah. No, they shot his shot. He got shot. Yeah, 50 Cent was shot 9 times too, man. Like, these rappers and, like, I don't know. Getting shot just doesn't seem like something on my bucket list.
It's not really on mine.
No, it's like there's a lot of things I would love to accomplish, but getting shot.
Stabbed. I
definitely don't want to get stabbed. Have you ever had stitches? Stitches are the worst. Can you imagine? Now think about this. Stitches are terrible, right? Getting a needle is terrible. Now imagine that needle being 6 inches and serrated and going straight into your gut. No, thank you. I don't understand. Like, I don't even like the concept of an operating table. Like, I don't like it. I'm not a pain person. I'm a physical pain. I'm a punk, dude. Like, I got a flu shot this year. My sister had to hold my hand. Almost 30, shamelessly.
I don't do the shots.
We live around a lot of old people down here, man. It's South Florida. Like, disease just lurks in every crack and crevice, so you got to protect yourself around here. Like, it's not, you know, if I lived in the desert in Arizona, I probably would just eat dirt and everything. But, like, here, I live in the city, so I got to protect myself.
Well, you know, I do this thing. I take this thing called Tiaga, a mushroom.
Do what?
It's a mushroom called Tiaga. It actually modulates the immune system so that anything that tries to get in there,
it's a mushroom.
Yeah, it's a mushroom. I learned like about it when I was with the Native Americans.
Like a cooking mushroom.
I wouldn't cook with this mushroom.
Or is it like a hallucinogenic mushroom? Oh, I'm not quite interested in that. I mean, if it's just a vegetable, then, like, okay.
No, you wouldn't want to eat it. It's, like, super, super bitter if you don't take it the way I do with the essential
oil. Oh, you have to, like, crush it? Like, you have to, like, blend it up into, like, a drink or something?
Well, my friend, he does all that and makes it palatable so that I can actually.
You just take teaspoons of mushrooms every day? Sounds like the ultimate American dream, if you ask me. 16-year-old Ashley would be super envious of that concept. No, it's so cool. Send me a link. I'll definitely check out this magic mushroom that you're talking about that apparently saves lives. I don't know. I guess. I mean, nature's real. You know, you can't discount nature. Nature's meant for us to survive. It's still there, man. It's so real. I'm going to refresh this. I can't keep watching this. No, now we're looking at the body parts, or not, God, I'm sorry, the car parts that are like, oh, yeah, I know, that is dark, right? Like, that was very dark of me. I didn't mean to go like that. No, they would, you know, the media, if they fully could, like, film his operation, they would, and they would put it up there and make, like, $1 million off this man, and he needs, like, can we give him some privacy? I mean, like I said, it's reported he's in a car attack. Okay, that's all, or not a car attack, car accident. That's all you gotta say. You don't have to put a helicopter there. That's like, that's rude. The man's getting CPR, and here we are, like, watching him being rushed off. That's not, if he dies, like, think about that. He has a whole family. Like, if he died, that's the last thing they're gonna see of him. And it's not just gonna be played once. It's gonna go viral. It's gonna be played out the year he died, you know, 5 years after his death. Hell, probably two days after he dies. Like, these people, these celebrities, they have families, they have people that love them, and, you know, even fans. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to remember my hero burning up in a car crash. Like, it's bleak. You know what I mean? Like, that's, like, horrible. And then you'll keep watching it because you can't believe it's happening. Like, that's what happened. Like, traumatic news is real, and it's weird because it causes all the phobias and anxieties that we feel. Like, I literally, one of my biggest fears is, like, if I ever have to undergo surgery, I don't want to be one of those 10,000 people who actually the anesthesia doesn't work for and they're awake the whole time. You know how I know that happens? Because there's a movie that tells you it happens. If there was not a movie that gave me that statistic, I would have never thought of that in my life. But because, you know, the media is forever traumatizing us, I am now like, absolutely not. I would literally just die with cancer in me rather than the concept of me having to go through surgery and me actually being awake. Because now that I know it's possible, I probably would try and stay awake. Also scared of that much control with a stranger. Wait, there's a lot of things that go into the surgery here.
So
I'm telling you, that's how these things work.
Try to stay awake?
I would probably try because here's what I'm going to think about going under. I don't know this man. He's got a large scalpel. He's going to cut me. He could be crazy. Criminal Minds, Law and Order. It's all there, man. You know, you think you're the normal person, but really you're one in 50,000 who actually ends up getting hacked to death by a psycho surgeon. Like, it's crazy. But that's why you got to stay healthy and eat magic mushrooms, I guess, so you don't have to get surgery.
No. That's the motto of everything.
That's it. You don't want to get hacked to death by a psychosurgeon? That should be what they say. Like, if I was a nutrition marketer, I'd be like, do you want to die? Do you feel comfortable knowing that you live such a piece of crap, unhealthy life? When you look in the mirror, do you actually enjoy looking at that gut that you see? Like, I would just be so disgusting.
I think we should make that commercial.
Yeah, and then everybody would shame us because, you know, cancel culture is real. So they'd be like, oh my God, you're fat phobic, transphobic, homophobic, you're this phobic. And like, I'm not that. I'm just a mean person. I'm not like afraid or I'm not intolerant. I don't care that people exist, but I'm going to make fun of you. Like, it's okay. I'm not going to actively work against you not being able to do things. You know what I mean? Like, I would never stop people from getting married if they wanted to be cousins, but I'm going to make fun of their retarded kid. Like, it's just like how it goes. It's okay, man. Like, I don't know why it's such a big deal.
Like, it reminds me of when we first met.
It was a lifetime ago.
I wanted to get to know you because you were doing this in comments on Facebook on folks' pages.
Oh, yeah. I get refreshed. I'm not gonna bully though, like, and most of the time it's lighthearted and it's rooted in like some sort of lesson, like, because we were in the same spaces and you always see the questions like, would you rather have $2 million or a book that teaches you how to make $10 million? Like, doesn't that book cost $10? Like, you know what I mean? Even if the book cost $1,000, why would I pass up $2 million for a book? And people would always say, you know, I'd like the book because I want to learn how to make $10 million. Well, if you have $2 million, it's a lot easier to make $2 million than with a book. It's a lot easier to make $10 million with $2 million than with a freaking book. Like, it's people say things to try and appear intelligent, and they really just sound extremely stupid. And so I like to bring them back to the reality of it. It's like, you still have to be here. Like, you still have to be present. So pretending that you're going to take a book that costs $1,000 over $2 million for people on the internet is not a thing you should feel you need to do. Like, why do you need to try and be the smartest when you can be honest and we can all, and I say it to people all the time. They say, oh, I'm not in it for the money. There's some things I do that I'm not in for the money, but I still need money. So, you know, let's get down to brass tacks. That's why when I work with people, I always ask them at first, how much is this? And, you know, people say, if you ask, you can't afford it. No, I'm asking because I have a realistic budget and I need to know if you fit in it. It's nothing personal. And if you don't, do you know somebody who charges less? I'm not, you know, you get what you pay for isn't real either, because Aldi's is a lot cheaper than our local Publix, and Aldi's is a much better deal. It's got much more organic fruit. It's a lot better. So getting what you pay for is nonsense. I'm not going to spend $10,000 with somebody to do subpar work when I can spend $2,000 with the Mexican guy with no citizenship who's going to do excellent work on time, and I don't have to worry about him thinking about this precision or anything. He's just going to get the work done. You know, I don't have to sign contracts. Here's $2,000. You've saved me $8,000 in time. Like, it's, I mean, that's why I always just bring the practical approach, because people are trying to be so, the internet is trying to make people philosophers, and like, we're not all philosophers, man. Some of us are just thinkers, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to pretend to be a philosopher because it sounds smart. It does not sound smart to me to pass up $2 million. I don't care. I don't care what the book says.
You know what I would do? I would take the $2 million. And then I would give $10 to someone that I hired to read the book.
Hello.
Oh, my $2 million.
That's even better. Yes, you take $2 million, you hire somebody to read the book. Because you're not, now you've got all this money to pay, and there's somebody out there willing to work. And it's like, you're now just creating a good economy. You're creating jobs. You're doing the Lord's work. Absolutely. You're doing the Lord's work. Now they know how to make $10 million. So you've just essentially made $20 million. I mean, realistically, yeah, I like I said, we're in the same spaces. We see the same dumb questions, or, you know, I don't have any money to start my business. What should I be doing? I'm not asking this question. You should probably be on Google or something. Like, we're not, we've all started in the same place when it comes to marketing. We've all started with zero clients. And then people will say, well, buy my program. Well, if they just told you they don't have a marketing budget, why are you going to try and sell them an $8,000 program? How about you actually either A, give them tips, or B, give them links to what you did when you had $0 or you had zero clients? Like, I've never been one to try and sell a program. I absolutely will call someone out for that manipulative garbage. That's, well, I can teach you how to do it. Okay, well, if you've already done it from zero and I have zero, you can either teach me or you can get me to the point where I can afford to work for you. But I'm not, you know, there for a while, people were saying, hey, open this credit card up for my course. And I thought that was sketchy. I'm not a fan of telling people to open up credit cards. Number one, if they don't have the money now, and your course doesn't work, they're not going to have money that they just ran through their credit card with. So that's a garbage human thing to do. And I see it all the time with clients. Like, the music industry is probably one of the most corrupt places I've ever seen in my entire life. And I know some seedy people, you know, like there, and it's like, why are we doing it? And these kids, they get into music, they're very young, and it's like, why are we doing this to them? Why are we ruining their lives? You know, like, we're ruining their lives with terrible contracts. We're ruining their lives by getting them distracted by fame and fortune. So, like, you look at Bobby Shmurda, who just got out, or you look at Tekashi 6ix9ine, who literally put an entire gang of people behind bars for life and ruined 29 families. And granted, they were gangbangers, drug dealers, whatever. But when you commit to these kind of things, when you commit to being in that lifestyle, you know what comes with it. But we watch these people, and they're so distracted by fame that they don't realize how bad their record labels are screwing them. And some of them end up dying with nothing. And I hate that thought. Like, I hate that people work hard and die with nothing. I don't think that's fair. I understand the concept of record labels making money. I understand that. I'm not even against the concept of that. But to literally screw these people to the point where they have nothing after they've put, they've already done the work for you. Pay them, you know? And it comes from just, I guess, you know, when you take some free clients who abuse your time, or they expect a lot and pay nothing, or, you know what I mean? Like, even working in that industry and like having to build a name and reputation for yourself, it's a pain in the ass. And like, to know that there's people manipulating them, and we see people who pay VAs $1 an hour, and they're like, well, they're in Thailand, that's amazing for them. And you're like, it's still $1 an hour, you dick. Like, you just accepted the 3 comma club, and you're telling me you can't pay these people living wages? Like, you're a dick. It doesn't matter how great it is for them, it's still horrible on your part, you know. And to justify it with, well, that's great in their country. Okay, so now you're making a little, they're making a little more than minimum wage. Like, and literally, when I say a little more, I mean, not much more. You know, if you're going to have that kind of attitude, at least pay them 5, because you're telling me you've made, you know, you're on, you know, we see it. People will be like, I just bought a plane. And then you see their VAs, like, literally living in the jungle. And you're like, yeah. How can you consciously be like that? Like, how can you literally live a life where you are just completely okay with flying, you know, getting a personal pilot, and your VAs like are literally killing obviously it's hyperbole, but they're killing animals to eat. Like, it's just such a it's not just music, it's everything. Like, it's such a manipulative, and really especially marketing. I mean, I've never seen so many obviously marketing, of course they're liars, marketing is lying. Most of it's lies. I've had a few clients I've had to save face for that I'm just like, not really a big fan of you, but you're paying a decent amount of money, so I'm gonna go ahead and go with this. Like, I don't believe in shit you're doing, but you know, but yeah, marketing, even just so many deceptive practices. And I've seen contracts where like Netflix wants to pay somebody $10,000 outright, which it sounds like a lot of money, especially if you're 21, 22. Hell, honestly, right now, $10,000, sounds like a great deal of money to me. But when you think about how much money that they're making on the back end, how billionaires are literally becoming billionaires, they're paying you pennies, and people deserve more. I mean, and we can get into the argument of the word deserve, and people say, oh, well, you don't deserve. Yes, you do. Like, I don't care what anyone says. If you work for someone, you deserve to be paid by them, and you deserve to be paid fairly. And don't tell me it's a minimum wage or a low working job, because if it's that low, you know, if it doesn't matter that much, then they can do it. Like, I've never believed in that minimum wage bullshit. Like, you can't tell me a janitor, and obviously there's difference in pay, but there's a difference between a difference of pay and a difference in survival. Yeah. Like, sure, you pay a doctor more than you pay the janitor, but, and the doctor should be comfortable, and there's nothing wrong with having a boat. There's nothing wrong with any of that, but the janitor shouldn't have to go get loans to just live. You know, not everyone's afforded the opportunity to become a doctor, and some people have to like leave abusive situations. Like, it's rare, but you know, when we add up all the rare stories, being in a tough situation isn't rare. That's not rare. So I'm not saying pay janitors, you know, $35, $50 an hour. I'm just saying, like, damn, can they get 15? Like,
yeah, definitely.
It's not about.
But then there's also the flip side too, because I've kind of been an advocate for that for a while. And then sometimes I'll run into people that it's like they don't want more.
I have somebody like that, and it drives me.
You should be getting all, and they're like, no.
I cannot express to you.
And I'm like, so sometimes how much? It's like a balance of, you know what?
Yeah, no, those people. Those people exist, and those people, oh my God, you want to talk about giving me a heart attack. I have a person who works with me, and he just is the dumbest. Talented. Very talented. The dumbest person. Because here's the thing, the way we structured it was like 2 hours a week. Now, you could spend those 2 hours a week creating a video. You could spend those 2 hours a week getting new clients, which was kind of what I didn't really put it out there because to me it's like you have to figure stuff out. But like I said, listen, you bring me a client, you not only get commission on that, but you get more hours because you have to work on that. So you're getting a commission plus extra hours, and it's only 2 hours a week because he only wants to make one video a week. And it's so frustrating because it's like, okay, you want to make one video a week, that's fine, but like now I'm going to be on your ass because I have to go through this video. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want more. You're not even trying to achieve more. And I granted, I'm not freaking RCA Records or anything, but if you were smart and spent that 2 hours saying, listen, I've researched this, we should do this. You know, I have this guy who works for me. He doesn't even know we have a radio station. He has no idea. Imagine working someplace and not knowing what's going on because you're so hyper-focused on 2 hours a week. You can't spend an extra 30 minutes to attend a meeting. If the meeting is not within your 2 hours, then you can't go to it. Like, where does the, and maybe it's, I don't know if he has a second job or not. I try not to get in people's business. I don't care. But like, if he doesn't, it's like, where is the want to do? You know, it's my radio station is literally me and two other guys splitting costs to run a radio station. Where is the want to help? Where, at what point do you become a liability? Because I can't count on you if it's not within your 2 hours. At what point do you see this as a way of just an end to justify the means and not as an opportunity to actually learn how to do things that I know how to do that you may not? Like, I can create some pretty good videos, you know what I mean? And if they need help, if someone needs help, I always jump on. I will always jump on and be like, hey, let's do this together, blah, blah, blah. But if you just want to do it and go, I mean, Godspeed, God love you, you know, mother raise you, mother love you, but like, why? Like, where is it? And it could just be like, it could just be a I don't really give a shit kind of thing, and that's cool, but it just drives me nuts because like when I worked at a radio station, I put my heart into doing this, and this is before, like, I put my heart into it, man. Like, when I do things, I genuinely enjoy it. I put my all into them, and he may not enjoy it, it may just be extra money. In which case, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, if it's just extra money, you're like, I don't really want to freaking do this all my life. Like, all right, dude, then just do 2 hours and go. But if you really, you know, and you really have that passion for music, you really have that drive for this, and you see three people who are basically under 30 doing what they can to try and disrupt the music industry, you hop on it. Because your 2 hours aren't going to change until you start making them change. Like, until you start saying, Ashley, I want to do more. I'm not going to give you more. I'm just going to throw stuff on your plate because you're not showing me that you want it. You know what I mean? Like, it takes, I don't know, you've uploaded an album before to, like, any distribution. It takes literally maybe 40 minutes. And that's if you have, like, a 13-track album. If you have an 8-track mixtape, it shouldn't even take you 20. The most that's going to take you is just, because I'm actually doing it, is entering the details. You know what I mean? Like, what language is this in? It's in English, okay? Are there any vocals? No, it's just, yeah, of course there's vocals. And then that's the crux of it. So if you told me you spent 2 hours entering one mixtape in, now I know I can't even trust you. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even trust you to be honest with me. Like, I know how long it takes. If I am not doing something myself and it's someone I'm working with, the reason I'm giving it to them is because I know how to do it and I have to do something more pressing or something more difficult. I don't give anyone, I would never give anyone anything I can't do. Because it's just, I feel like that's dishonest. And it's not dishonest. There's plenty of business owners who can't do things that they hire people to do. But I at least like to kind of not get screwed over by my worker and have them kind of have me in a vice grip. Like, that's what it, if they know you can't do it, they'll screw you, man. And more power to you if you got that leverage, but you can't get it on me. If I can't make the video, I'm going to sit and learn how to. And that's why sometimes I get like, hey, listen, this is going to take me a week. Why a week? Because I don't know what I'm doing. And I'll tell people, I don't know what I'm doing. I got to learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah, absolutely. I had to do like a whole online store for somebody. Never again.
Didn't like it.
All online stores are complicated. And they're complicated because I don't know what's happening. Like, I have to edit this listing. I have to price it. But they tell you the percentage of markup, like what you're going to make on this sweatshirt. It's like 20%. I'm like, why would I want to make 20%? I want to make 40%. Then you check the price and you're like, this is a $60 sweatshirt if I make 40%. Who's going to, you have to play around with the numbers too much. It's too much decision. I was too indecisive. I mean, I went with the sweatshirt being like $30, but, and then I think it was like a 20% increase, whatever, but still, it's a lot of indecision. There's a lot of products also that you can design. So there's like clocks, mugs, and I want to do one of each. And so that just ends up being a time suck because I'm designing weird things that people aren't even going to buy. Like, nobody needs, honestly, like, nobody needs a baby onesie that says, like, F the police on it. But you know what? I want to make one. And it's like, people would probably buy it. I mean, yeah. The more distasteful, people would definitely buy that. Now I think about it, probably might make one. No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put that on a baby. Like, no, because people might, like, people will take a picture of that baby, put that baby on the internet, because you know they're shameless. I wouldn't do that to a baby. Yeah. If they weren't so shameless, I mean, I would. But, like, yeah, I end up spending an hour and a half just, like, making things. Or like, I think there was something completely weird on there. It was so cool, though. It was, like, underwear. And I'm like, what? Okay. Get too distracted when it comes to making online stores because it's really fun, but it's like a myriad of decisions I have to make, and I'm so indecisive and I want to do it all, so I just stay away from them.
I actually have a question for you because I'm actually working on my merch
store. Oh god, you too.
Well, I actually came from the online e-commerce, so I remember just, like, setting up the stores and stuff. But I want to ask you, as far as merch right now, what is, like, the hot merch that people
would buy? Masks, hand sanitizer. Get a little kit. It's called the Corona kit. This is what I put together. It's mask, hand sanitizer, alcohol wipes. But it's small hand sanitizer, small alcohol wipes, right? With a little zip pouch, you can put your mask in. People keep them in their purses. You buy two or three of them, it makes sense. Keep them in your purse. You keep them if you're a purse hoe and you have like 1,000 purses, buy 1,000 of them. You never leave home without it because a mask is just like become an accessory. You know what I mean? Like, and it really has. Think about it. People. Think about like when you see, if you watch TV, you'll see a famous person wearing a mask. Did you watch the inauguration? Michelle Obama looked cool as shit. Okay, but she had the mask. It's a fashion accessory now.
She looked like an assassin.
She looked amazing. I was like, it was crazy. I was like, she got me. I was jaw dropped. And it was kind of like a serve. You know what I mean? Like, bye, bitch. Like, it was like really like one of those outfits that was like, I'm here and you know I'm here. I really loved it. But yeah, things like masks are becoming fashion accessories. Also, never count out the 3/4 sleeve shirt, which sounds weird, but shirts with pockets are awesome and they look good. Anything you can find at Old Navy is something I would really look at. Like, and I would go to Old Navy and just kind of look at the style. Old Navy has stayed in business forever for a reason. And it's not because of those dumb red, white, and blue t-shirts. Actually, it might be because we all have one or had one. but places like Old Navy stay in business and they don't set the trends necessarily like Ferragamo would. They set the trends for everyday average people. Who do you want buying your stuff? Who are there more of? There's a 1% and a 99%. Who do you want to pander to? Let's be honest. Like, yeah, it's great if Kim Kardashian buys your stuff, but she's going to probably try and buy you out. And she's going to give you a check and tell you go F off. And she's going to make your thing into a billion. So I'm all about, you know, giving people something they can afford because I just don't know that many billionaires, like, to know what they want. You know, I know some people who've done well, but I don't know what Elon Musk wakes up and does. Like, I could probably tell you what your average person's doing right now. They're working. Elon Musk is probably like on a plane to Tahiti with a boat inside the plane, jet skiing out on the air. Like, he's doing something weird that we would never think of. You know what I mean? But like, he's not working. He doesn't have to. If I had $1 billion, I probably wouldn't work either. I'd probably tell the whole world, kiss my butt. He can flex on Twitter all he wants, but at the end of the day, he tweets way more than he should for somebody who's busy as much as he says he is. Like, that's just my thought.
Yeah. Or maybe Elon is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's he probably doesn't even touch Twitter. But Donald Trump was on Twitter, and you knew it was him. Like, Donald Trump, okay. We should get, if we got, think about this. If we got $10 for every tweet he made during his presidency, we could probably pay off the national debt. Like, the man tweeted too much for someone who was supposed to be looking out for my well-being.
That's why I don't think it was him.
Like, this, no, it's got to be. He's a hothead, though. He's crazy.
He's tweeting too much.
I never liked that guy. I didn't like him on Home Alone. I thought he was an asshole then. I knew he was an asshole in The Apprentice. I didn't like him, man. Like, those were rants of a manic psychopath. Like, they were just incoherent. And that's literally because his fat fingers were tweeting, and I have fat fingers, so I know how many mistakes I make on a daily basis. Like, those are incoherent rants. That is not the rant of anyone who's going to pretend to run the world. And it's just, you can't tweet that much and call yourself a person in a position of power. It's just uncomfortable. It's like, I don't even tweet that much. I don't even have that much to do all day.
I just started promoting my Twitter like last week.
Twitter is important. And Twitter has not died. Everyone keeps saying Twitter died, but it never freaking dies, man. Twitter is like some sort of, like, it's like Jesus or Nazareth or something. Thank you. I got mail. Sorry. I have to open it. I'll put it behind my desk and we'll forget it exists completely. Like, completely forget it exists. Oh, this is from my friend Jessica. She said she sent me a cup. I'm going to Mexico next month, so I'm totally going to use this bathroom in Mexico. Hey, this is awesome. Yeah. It's a wine tumbler. Or, sorry, a coffee cup, as every other human being.
A coffee cup?
Yes, every other human being in the world would call it.
But for you, it's a wine cup.
Oh, not wine. I'm not a wine drinker.
All
right. Wine smells funny. Yeah, it smells
what,
weird.
What type, though?
All of it. It's just a distinct wine smell.
I love wine.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
Sure, occasionally. So I tell myself too. What occasion is it? Tuesday. That's the occasion. See, did I get a note? I didn't get a note. I was really gonna call my friend a bad friend because she didn't send me a note on a gift. Oh, that's it.
You got your note. There we go. So I got another question for you. I don't know if you can hear me because.
Kind of. You gotta get a microphone, dude.
I have one.
Oh, okay. Move it closer, maybe?
No, Zoom just...
There you go.
Zoom just decided it didn't want to play with me.
Zoom's weird.
Yeah. But yeah, so I, in the last couple of years, last 3 years or so, I've been a music snob because I haven't really been listening to... anything.
I'd love to hear your definition of a music snob. This is a fun
my definition of a music
snob. Not that's fun.
Anyone else but myself.
But yourself? Oh, yes. That's awesome. No, that's not a music snob. That's smart. I don't know how smart on like a mainstream basis, but like as far as perfecting your craft, it's brilliant.
Yeah, but now it's like, you know, I want to know like what's going on. Like what would you suggest? That I listen to understand the music industry and like what's going
on. Oh, you know what I would do actually? I wouldn't suggest you listen to anything if you want to understand the music industry. I'd watch a couple documentaries about musicians who've recently lost their shit. like Britney Spears. I would watch a Britney Spears documentary. I would probably do that because then you see the results of what happens when you go into it. If you watch their lives right now, it's not going to show you anything but what record companies want you to see. If you watch their life when they're done, you'll really see how they're literally used up, spit out, and then like re-chewed. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, I don't want to say gum because that's disgusting, but we were all kids once, so let's be honest. Take gum out of your mouth, you stretch it with your dirty little hand, you stretch it, you put it back in your mouth, you do all these weird, I don't know what's up with kids and gum, but they do weird things with gum. But yeah, it's the same concept. And so if you're looking for actual music itself, I like, I listen to so much music. But that's a lot of, like, doo-wop music. Like, anything before the 1980s is what I listened to, really.
Now you're getting into stuff I already listened to.
Yeah, like, I listen to shit that's all there is. I don't really listen to mainstream media, man. Like, I mean, of course I listen to rap. I love me a good gangster beat. I like, you know, London's got some pretty good rap, too. And it's weird to listen to British people rap because, I don't know, it's like, you never picture British people, I guess the way that they sold it to America. British people are like super posh and like super, you know, British. I know that doesn't make sense using the word to describe a word, but like they're like British, they're like high society, tea time, pinkies up. Like, and then you listen to this stuff, you're like, damn, it's like ghetto out there. Like, are they safe? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's so weird. I'm not, honestly, when I don't have to listen to music, I really don't. I listen to so much new music all the time, and it's like, oh, like you'll send me music and it's nothing. Your music's fantastic, by the way. I'm just saying, like, so people send me music throughout the day, and I listen to it throughout the day. So when I take these headphones off and I go in my room, the last thing I'm doing is putting music on. First thing I'm doing is putting Netflix on. So if you want to know what to watch, I can tell you.
Actually, that was going to be my next
question. I can tell you what to watch.
That you know all of the shows that
I do. The person who sent me this cup, when her husband met me, he goes, aren't you the person who's watched Netflix like twice? And I was like, yeah, that's me, man. Yeah, if you're, did you watch Bridgerton yet? It's really good. It's awesome. It's weird. It's so gross too, because it's so sexual. It's hypersexual, like uncomfortably, subliminally hypersexual. And but it's good. It's good. It's good TV. I can escape to Bridgerton. When I watch things that are like true crime, I can't like escape. I'm more afraid of it than anything. You know what I mean? Like this house, and they'll say like a neighborhood right next to yours, and they're like, this lady went nuts. And then didn't get convicted, and you're like, oh my god, she lives like two doors down. Like Casey Anthony lives here, which is
really
hilarious, by the way. Like, there's a lot of Casey Anthony stories and sightings and stuff. Hilarious. She's still a baby killer, don't forget that. but yeah, watching wise, it's so cheesy and teenage angsty, but it's called like Fate, the Wick Saga. It's teenage angst. It's really good.
Yeah.
I like to be a good teenage angst story. The One Night in Miami, that movie on Prime, is excellent. I mean, just phenomenal. It's done so well. I mean, I love a good Black excellence movie. Always, I will always listen to well. Always vote for the Black family on Family Feud. like, you know, culture shit. and then I guess music wise, I'm interested to see what. I don't really listen to mainstream music too much. I'm too, honestly, I am constantly recruiting independent artists for my radio station. I'm too focused on like disrupting the shit to even listen to. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to support it. Like,
tell me about some of the independent artists that you're
interested in. Okay, so I work with you and you're phenomenal. Actually, you're probably the only person who I can't nail an exact genre down for, and that's annoying, but it's cool. no, your music.
I get that
so,
a lot.
Yeah, you can't nail it down, and it's frustrating because you want to call it something. You want to say it's this. Like, if I'm like, when I put your DJ package together, I want to say it's this, but it's not. It's none of that. Like, so it's like I'm like, you know, like Tracy Chapman meets like what do I say? I feel like Tracy Chapman meets like a Joan Jett, then meets like Adele, and then that's kind of how I put it usually.
For me,
like
yeah. I have Adele in my bitch.
Yeah, because your voice, because you sing, like, and it's like slow. It's not like you're actually delving it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just because you sing slow. But yeah, it's kind of how I put it, and it's an easy way to nail it because if I show a picture of you, they'll see Tracy Chapman because you're black. And then if I say like, I swear to God, like it works. I'm not kidding. Like it works. You gotta just do what you gotta do, man. No, but really, some independent artists. I just got a guy's name's D Young. He's phenomenal. I have a kid who right now, he's doing a long time in prison, and he makes his own music. He's phenomenal. And he produces everything on his phone. Like, because obviously they don't have, like, actually, Hug a Thug might be a musical prison kind of thing. Now that I'm thinking about it. But he literally is doing a long time in prison, and he produces all his music on his phone. He's really good. And the music isn't the greatest, but he's producing it from a prison cell, which I don't care what anyone says. That's resilience. And I will always work with him because I think it's great for him to have something to do because apparently they just chill all day in prison. Like, what's the punishment? You know what I mean? Like, this man is sitting here making music all day for free, like doing nothing. Like, they call that a punishment. And then I have Lost Borough Big Bro, who actually I think you would do a great feature with. He's really good. He's been in a car accident, so he's been missing for a while. I have Reckless. She's the filthiest person I've ever heard, and I freaking love it. I can't listen to it. It's so filthy. Like, it's so filthy, I have to, like, take my headphones off and take a break. You know, I'm just putting her album together today, actually. And those songs, and she knows it. I tell her all the time. I think it's great. You know, it's like think of WAP. And then, like, elevated times 10. It's that filthy. And it's, I love it. I mean, I think it's so great to see, you know, a woman not afraid to be disgusting. Greta, I hate disgusting music. I think it's so gross. I was raised with shame. So, like, that's a thing. But, like, I love it. I love that someone has the courage to be that way. I love hearing people have courage to do something I would never do. Who else do I have? Let's see. I have Brody, who Brody Smooth is probably the best artist I have right now. And I mean that, no offense to you. And when I say that, I mean, he is probably the most marketable person I've ever seen in my entire life, from his freaking dreads to his matching sweatsuit to, like, the stacks of money. And he's a rapper. So when I tell you, when you think rapper, this boy literally is exactly what a rapper looks like. He's got neck tattoo. I mean, the kid is just, and he's good at what he does. I mean, we got him to be Indie Artist of the Year, not just the month. We got him Indie Artist of the Year. And I submitted him because I was like, this kid is, he's so good. And I never stopped bragging about him. I could talk about the kid for 10 minutes. He's so humble. He'll, like, and he's like, I know for a fact this kid is so, he's like a kind of a country bumpkin too, because he's got a little southern drawl. He's adorable. And he's really good at what he does, but he's also really humble, because I have some people, like, I work with that have no humility whatsoever. They think they are God's gift to music, and, like, I always tell them, leave the ego in the booth, because I'm going to bring you back to life. Like, I'm going to tell you exactly how this is happening, and I'm going to tell you exactly what your numbers look like, exactly what those comments say. People are saying you look stupid, you know, and if you don't feel stupid, that's fine, but, like, if they're saying you look stupid, I say you look stupid, you probably look stupid, homie. Like, and that's not anything other than you just not understanding what you need to bring to the table. But yeah, because, you know, I've posted people who will send me garbage ass music and be like, do not do this to me. Like, because I will blast you. I will, because you don't tell me you're the greatest in 10 generations. And then when I listen to it, it's offbeat and, like, produced in a kid in prison can produce an amazing song. You're telling me this is professionally produced. Like, you need your money back and you need to sue those people, because they lied to you. Like, that is defamation. Like, that is misrepresenting. That is misleading the shareholders. I don't care what you call it. Like, that is horrible. And I listen to the shit, man. And I do. I have to go through my fair share of garbage. Actually, we're going to start a podcast called Your Music is Trash. And it's going to be, like, just bad music. And we're going to teach them, obviously, how to improve upon it. I'm not just going to bully people. They get, like, a $500 lesson on production and all that shit from us in marketing. So, whatever. That's me giving back to terrible musicians. But yeah, just send me all the garbage music you hear. I have enough for like 7 episodes. And then I have Tutu Black Slugger. He's amazing, dude. He's an older guy and he's a moneymaker, but he is so determined. And it's really amazing. Like when you see musicians are probably the most determined people in the world, because you make a song and you have no freaking clue if anyone's going to like it. You have to be confident enough in your voice, in your sound, to put it out there to millions of people and hope to God they don't shred you to shit. And then you have to send it to people like me who will fully shred you to shit. And then if you're arrogant about it, they'll post it online and make sure everybody knows that you're garbage. Like, you have to deal with a lot of those things. And I only embarrass people who feel the need to sort of, who need that humility. They need to be humbled. You gotta be humbled. You can't, if you're just starting out, and I tell this to me, I ask people all the time, how long are you gonna do your music? And the reason I ask them this is because I need to know if you just, bubble wrap.
It's like one of my favorite
things. I need to know what level you're on. You tell me I've been doing this for 6 months, you come to me with some Tupac style shit, I'm gonna be like, all right, stop the presses, let's work. Like, if you tell me I've been doing this for 6 months and it sounds like you've been doing it for 6 months, here's what you need to do, come back to me. And here's all the resources you need. Here is a producer who will work with you on your budget. Here is a person who can give you not custom beats, but pretty custom enough, customized beats, who can match your voice. I can provide all those resources for people. And then come back to me and spend your money with me. Because when you spend your money with me, I'm not putting shit out. I refuse, because that's my name. And while nobody actually knows it's my name, to me it's still my name. I can't sleep at night knowing I let you release that shit. Like, you're entrusting me to help you. I'm not going to let you embarrass yourself. It's horrible. Now, some people I have let them run with it because they didn't want to listen. And I do that because if you don't want to listen and you're a grown person trying to demand me to put this out for you, you know what? Okay. And then when you get ripped to shit and, you know, you get rejection letter after rejection letter from radio stations, you get people saying this guy's a clown when you put it in a test group, you get all that stuff. And I give you that feedback. You know that I'm not a hater. I'm not trying to hold you back. You know that I was literally trying to be a mama bear and not let you go embarrass yourself. Like, I was fortunate enough to have a good enough mother where she would be like, this is fucking stupid. You know what I mean? And like, and it wasn't, you know, when I was younger, I would probably think, oh, she's just mean and blah, blah, blah. But it really came down to, she didn't want me to embarrass myself. So, I mean, I always make sure that they're putting out good stuff. Unless they're not, then, you know, sometimes, like I said, sometimes you need humility. Sometimes.
You know what? That's what I see you as the great humbler.
That's what I am.
Yeah, you're the great humbler.
That's what I was called to do.
You do it well.
Long road.
Very,
that's funny. I'm not though. I really just want people to be successful, but I want them to be that honestly, and I want to do it honestly by them. I mean, I'm not a saint by any means. Don't get me wrong. I've done my fair share of dirt, but you know, eventually you grow up and you mature and you realize that like you kind of want to be a good person. So I guess this is, you know, music is a cool way for me to give back. I don't work with minors. I never work with minors. I hate kids. But not only do I, you know why? Because if you're dealing with a kid, you have to deal with their parent. And you know what I hate more than the kids? Parents. Parents are the worst. That's like, they think, and I have this rule from experience. I was working with a guy and his father. This guy wasn't even a minor. He was a freaking grown-ass man who I couldn't get on the phone, by the way, which, if I can't get you on the phone, if I can't get you on Zoom, I can't do it. But parents are so overbearing and they want the best for their kids. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not even that I'm particularly upset that they want that. I just don't want to be the person that has to deal with it. Cause I'm like, listen, your kid is the artist, not you. And if you're 17, you have no control. If you're 16 and you want to be a rapper, great. When you turn 18, hit me up. But until your parents can relinquish, until you can make your own decisions for yourself, absolutely not. Because I wouldn't be upset with a mother for arguing with me and you know, doing what they feel is the best for their child. They're saying, I don't want my child to be seen like that. Like, okay, I get it. You don't want your child to be seen as a gangster. Then tell him to stop smoking blunts and music videos. You know what I mean? Like, tell him to stop toting guns in music videos. Tell him to stop pretending, saying F the police in music videos. And I would have to argue this back and forth with someone. And I just don't want to do that. I understand a parent's place, and that's absolutely that. I'm not doing it because I will call your mom a piece of crap, and you don't want me to do that. I argue with people, and I argue because I care. Usually I don't have to argue too much because after my first argument with one of my clients, they finally realized, like, I know what I'm doing, and then I might actually be certifiably crazy. It's a good chance Ashley, right. Ashley might come to my house and punch me in the face. Like, she might fly halfway across the country. No, it's more like I know what I'm doing. I've done this for a long time. I've done this in several different spaces. I've marketed so many things in my life. And now, yeah, well, I can lie about anything, man.
That's the trick.
You just got to believe. Honestly, if you believe in anything, you can be a marketer. Like, all you have to do is believe in things. You have to believe the good in everything. So, like, anything. All you got to do is think of the good parts of it. Like, let's talk about methamphetamines. Well, it keeps you alert. You know what I mean? Like, it keeps you alert. It keeps you focused for decent periods of time. Never mind the fact that your teeth are going to fall out. You're going to end up in rehab. We'll talk about that later in 2 years when you have no more money for it. But right now, let's talk about what meth can do for you today.
Well, you know, when
those soldiers,
COVID, when the whole COVID thing started, they actually said that anyone who had ever, and then I spread myself, they'll do that. Anyone who had ever done meth was immune.
That's awesome.
It's like,
that's like me and what? All my friends. Like, we're all good. Like, that's why I haven't got COVID. Okay.
You know, and at the time, I was in
doing meth,
where it was like one of the biggest. I mean,
meth is huge. Here
it's called 417, which is like the code name for it. And I was just like, oh, I'm good.
You ain't got it. Like, I don't need a mask. You guys are all meth heads. Like, that's hilarious. Oh, that's insane. Can you imagine, like, really meth? Like, think about that. Like, methamphetamine is what's going to prevent people. Do not. I hope they didn't broadcast that to, like, people. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. Like, think about being a teenager and hearing that meth will keep you from getting COVID. Next thing you know, get me a stem, heat that bit, rock. Every, like, that is ridiculous. Why would, this is the problem with the media. Why would you even say that? Why would you even remotely say that? Because some idiot, some impressionable dumbass is going to be like, I need to do some meth. Somebody who's so afraid of getting sick that is willing to do anything other than get COVID is going to do meth. And now they're probably hooked on meth. And now this meth dealer done made $1 million. Yeah, drug dealers and liquor stores probably make a killing on COVID. They're going to be very upset when COVID goes away because there wasn't much else to do for 3 months. You know what I mean? Like, you're in quarantine. And some people are in quarantine forever.
Yeah.
Forever. It's nuts.
It's wild. But yeah. I don't know if I have any more questions for you.
I mean, you do.
What is that? You've definitely been as entertaining as always.
Well, thank you. Sounds a bit condescending. Like, what do you say? No, I know you're not. It's just the way you say it.
You're just like a bubble of, like, every time I see you or even just see your name on social media, I'm just like, she's amazing.
Yeah. You know you're going to laugh or something.
Yeah, I know that.
Or I'm going to rip into someone.
I know that it's not going to be boring.
Right.
I know all of that stuff. So, yeah, it's actually praise. It is not kind of.
No, that's, I don't care if it was. I appreciate it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even if it was, like, glad I can entertain people, man. That's like, the name of the game for me. I have to get people on it, you know. Yeah, but seriously, it's been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. Like I said, if it was anyone else, I probably would have canceled and kept watching The Good Place.
And if it was anyone else, I would.
I do it all the time. I just, you know, sometimes you're just not feeling it, you know, like, especially podcasts and stuff, because you have to not necessarily be on 100%, but you have to, like, you have to be yourself. And sometimes just being Ashley is just, you know, a lot of thoughts. You know, so I have to, like,
and that's actually one of the reasons why I might have canceled it, because this was like my first podcast where I'm just like keeping myself, and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Just talk, man. I have a podcast and we do really well. Like, our numbers are fantastic. I don't know if you've seen that, but our numbers are fantastic, and we've just started a year and we're at like 30,000 downloads over the last year, which me and him are two random people. Like that nobody, I you know me, I don't really broadcast what I'm doing too much unless I'm super awesome. Like I'm really proud of it, but I really don't market myself in the way that I probably should. So for us to hit that kind of numbers without really saying anything, without doing too much, we spend $0 on ad revenue. We've done like legitimately nothing. And I'm kind of bragging about how little we've done. It's really like to me, yeah, someone who like works with people's ad budgets every day and like manages these kinds of things for people. And I'm like, look at this fucking podcast out here outdoing this one. And we've done nothing. And we even took a 4-month break because he had no power. He lived in Louisiana, he had no power. You know what I mean? Like we took a 4-month break, came back, and now we're doing $2,500 a month after 4 months of people not even hearing our voice. And the trick is just like, I don't know, keep it interesting, I guess. That's what I think, because I'm pretty funny. And he's very analytical, very smart. So it's like, it's a nice play from like me to him. And I think that's what people like. And it's also practical advice. It's relationships and dating and everything. Like we gave this girl the courage to leave an abusive relationship, which we should probably follow up on, because she might be dead. Like we should probably follow up with her.
Might be a good idea.
And that's the thing, we even get fan mail, and that's wild to me. Like fan mail, do you know who I am? I am like a stubby person behind a computer just saying whatever comes to mind, and people are like, we really admire you, we admire your show, I admire your courage. And I'm like, lady, I'm literally terrified of everything. I haven't left my house in a month because if somebody coughs on me, I might throw up on them. And to see people just say, you know, like fan mail is amazing, because it's amazing what people interpret you as compared to what you actually are. Also, fan mail is awesome. I gotta tell you, that is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life, is people writing in just like singing my praises. And I'm like, you guys can't do this to me. Next thing I know, I'm like on the freaking Grammys in my mind. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm the shit. You can't tell me nothing. Look at this one email right here that says it. Like you, all of everyone else's opinions are irrelevant, but it's fun. I mean, first podcast where you have no idea what you're doing. I never have any idea what I'm doing.
Thank you.
That's a lie. No, I always know what I'm doing. I never know how to execute it. I always know what I'm doing though. And it's just fun. I mean, which one is this? Is this a music one?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, just get some singers on. I'm telling you, man, do a round table. Those things are awesome, and I would love to edit it. Half of it, not all of it. Just the singing part. I don't want to listen to people talk for 45 minutes. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, get some singers on.
To be honest, this one is probably going to be the longest.
Oh, yeah.
Within 15 minutes.
You try and keep everything. Like, oh, you're like me. You try and keep everything to like 10 minutes, and you're like, you know what? I don't want to talk. But I have to, you know what I mean? No, I'm the same way. I'm terrible too, like especially on the phone. I am terrible. I will look at the timer on the phone and be like, all right, you got 30 seconds. Like, worse. Yeah, dude, I wouldn't even probably, I don't know. You could just air this unedited and be like, first podcast, let me know.
Just fine.
Find the direction, broski. Like literally, just like, that should be the title, like find out what the direction is. Shit, I just sorry, I got an email from someone. I ordered this tarot reading on Etsy. Why? Because I wanted to. I swear to God.
I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting
that. Yeah, I forgot I did it. I was probably drunk now I think about it. I was like, I want a tarot reading, but I don't want my friends because I don't trust them because they know me. And a lot of my friends, I have the weirdest friends. They all use tarot. I don't trust because they know me. And I'm very easily manipulated by my friends. They could tell me anything and I'd be like, that's gonna happen, I trust you. I wanted a stranger, somebody who knows me from nothing but a $10 order, and they just sent it to me, and I asked them a question about my radio station, and I'm pretty excited to hear. I don't know what direction we're going in as far as anything. Well, no, that's a lie. We have a schedule. I actually have it right here. I think the biggest fear I have is actually making a dent in the music industry and someone like noticing that and like it working. That's terrifying. Like the concept of success in this whole entire endeavor is terrifying, because what does that look like? You know what I mean? Does that look like me being mainstream? Does that look like me doing the same things that these people are doing when we talk crap about them on live TV? Like, where I'm just talking to you right now and talking crap. Like, what does success look like? Does that look like me saying exactly how I feel? Because if that's the case, they have much more of a resource to stop me. You know what I mean? What does success look like without me just hoping for it? And the concept of being successful in this, in disrupting the mainstream media, because I love media, I love TV, I love all of that stuff, but I know that the problems are there. I've seen some of my heroes, literal heroes, just end up dead, and it's like, why are they like dead? Why are these people making millions of dollars and using heroin? I mean, honestly, if you give me $16 million, on 16, I probably would have used heroin too. But like, some of them are 30, 40 years old, dying in trailers, you know, and some of them are dying with absolutely nothing. And it's like, these are people who I not only watched, but I watched with 30 billion other people on a Saturday night. These are people who keep us connected. How are they ending up like this? And so the reason to disrupt is not because I hate contracts or I hate money or I hate, it's because these people have radically changed the way our culture works. I mean, like, The Godfather has relatively changed our culture. Scarface has changed culture, and all of these things contribute to who we are as human beings. And these people sacrifice themselves for what? Obviously, fucking Marlon Brando didn't die poor, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a few of them who lose, and child stars are the worst. And so if I can catch these kids 20, 21, you know, get this radio station moving, get all the stuff moving, and possibly say, hey, you're not going to make millions of dollars, but you're not going to end up broke as shit. You know, if I can do that for 150 people, I've basically got my childhood back. I mean, every time a celebrity dies, it's like a horcrux, you know, like part of me dies, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it feels like. And it sounds crazy, but if you're a media junkie like I am, it's what happens. So how do I stop that? How do I do all those things? And that's where the fear really does come in, is what does the success look like? And how do I stop myself from being successful to the point where I'm willing to, I would probably never sacrifice anyone, except for Donald Trump, he can go to hell. But I didn't like the guy in Home Alone, like I said. And if you don't sit right with me in one of my favorite movies, then...
I mean, he was in Home Alone?
Yeah, dude, he made a cameo in Home Alone too. It was so embarrassing. He's so unfit for living. Like, he's such an ugly person. Yeah, he was in the Trump Towers. Remember, like, they had his face, and he looked like a bad person there. And then I saw The Apprentice, and I watched like maybe one episode, and I was like, this guy is total trash. Like you can't tell me you're hiring someone as an apprentice on a multi-billion dollar corporation. Not a single person should be apprenticing you. You know what I mean? They should be in a training program. You should be, if you're able to make $1 billion, you should have a training program out. And I've always said that everyone who's made $1 million online needs to go put a college together, and an affordable college, not this bullshit that they give you on school. You know what I mean? Like, everyone who's made $1 million should put that together and give people the alternative to $100,000 in student debt. So I don't rock with people the long way who make a bunch of money and shit on, and not only shit on people, but they don't give it back, and not the whole million. Obviously, if I made $1 million, I'd probably give $50,000 back. Like, I'll get a little bit of it. But that's my biggest fear, is the success. And what does the success look like? What's the threshold to where it says, okay, I'm making this amount of money, this is the next place? And all that stuff is just confusing and weird. So I've been kind of putting it off. But this great old tarot reading just reminded me.
Yeah. I will say this, though. With the success of others in the past and what you're doing, I can see you are more in control.
Oh, very much.
And the pathway.
Very much.
So.
Very much so.
You have less to fear.
Less what? Less what?
You have less to fear.
Yeah, it doesn't make any of this real, though. Yeah. I can rationalize my way out of the fear, but the fear still creeps up. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what it is. It's like every move I make is like calculated, and I don't even bring it up to the people I work with until I've thought it all the way through. And like, I actually have a journal now. That's how much I want this to work, like, you know. And so it's just like a terrifying thought of being successful, and like, and trying to disrupt something that is an institution, and not only is an institution, but is a literal cultural medium. Like, I'm not coming after Warner Brothers immediately. Obviously not. I'm going to take out their little, I'm like a sniper, you know what I mean? I'm going to take out their little companies and the little ones. Just try and just put some humanity back into this shit. That's all I really want to do. Just put some humanity into the arts. Because I'm pretty sure it's called Arts and Humanities. It's not called Arts and Rape People with Contracts.
Very true. Yeah. And that's why I work.
So everybody works with me. I will be a person like, and you know me, I'll be like, hey, what day is good for you to pay? Which is like, I'm the worst business person. I am. Like, I'll be like, hey, what day is good for you to pay me?
I don't see that as the worst. I see that as actually.
Oh, as a client.
I'm like that also. I was like, well, because I'm like, okay, I only work with people that I want to work with.
Yes.
And so if I want to work with you, I don't want to have money being the issue.
Right. And I'm fair. I've actually lowered the price on someone before because I wasn't doing as much work with them. And it's like, all right. And then everything I do is optional. I am not a fucking doctor. I'm not a dentist. If you crack a crown, you can't call me. Everything I do is technically optional. And that's, and it's the God's honest truth. I wish people would be honest with themselves and honest. Like, if you're a small business marketer, your job is literally an option that people have to choose because they can learn how to do exactly what you're doing. And it wouldn't take them any longer than it took you. People are capable. People aren't stupid. You know what I mean? So they're choosing to spend their money with you. They're choosing to do something. And the reason they're choosing you is because they trust you. And so if you're going to trust me with money every month, I can at least freaking honor that. Like, that's the least I can do for you. You know, obviously I get great results, but that's whatever. It's a small part of what I do. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But yeah, now food is falling.
Yeah, dude, I feel that. And like, I have this glass I want to like drink out of. And I didn't know how to end this either. No, I feel you, dude. Like, and I have like 6 text messages I need to respond to, and all these. And I just keep looking at them. And I'm like,
I had to put my phone away because it's like, no,
I don't.
All day long. And just as soon as I hit record.
Swear to God. You can have your phone on Do Not Disturb all day, or not Do Not, on full blast all day. Not a single person. You go to do one task, and apparently everybody's house is on fire. And you're like, what? Can I just sit down? And then you're like, I'm not even going to respond. And then you look like an asshole. Just the way of the world is weird, man.
Yeah.
All right, dude, go eat something. Right. That sounds good. Cool. Let's start. I have like Cocoa Krispies coming at like 8. That sounds good. All right, man.
Thank you again for tuning into the show. If you're interested in supporting the show, be sure to meander on over to shop.theintuneinstrument.com and check out the merch store. You want my latest single? Well, guess what? You can get it at shop.theintuneinstrument.com. You want to represent that you're an in-tune instrument in your city? Shop.theintuneinstrument.com and grab a shirt. You get the message. Go to shop.theintuneinstrument.com and rep this.